Well, good morning. Good to be with you once again. Looks like God has given us another wonderful and beautiful day to be here. Looks like it's going to be a very, very nice week, too. Before I start, I'd like to take just a few seconds to thank you. Looks like this might be my last time for a few months, which sounds good. I'm happy for Scott and his family. As of now, Lord willing, I'll be back in September. I just want to say thank you for these past, I don't know when the first time, I think it was November maybe might have been the first time I spoke here, but you've been very welcoming and very caring, very thoughtful. So you've been with open arms, and I truly do appreciate it, and I look forward to coming back in September and whenever I possibly can and that you need me. So thank you very much. This morning's lesson, I want to start off with a question. Are you setting a good example? Or if you want to make it personal, think of yourself looking in the mirror and say, am I setting a good example? And the things that I do, the things that I say, the places I hang out with, who I hang out with, am I setting a good example? Because believe it or not, people are looking at you. People are watching you. People are paying attention to you. And you may not think so, but they are. My first experience of knowing I was setting an example, my sophomore year in high school, I was starting on the varsity basketball team with my older brother, Matt. He was a senior. And we were having a very good year. Actually, we ended up having the best year in Barnesville history. We won the most games. We won the districts. We went to the regionals down in Athens. But before all that, though, we were winning some games, and we come out of the locker room at home one night, and, you know, our parents would wait there, and some friends and girlfriends tell us good job and so forth. But when we come out this one game, these about 10 or 20 little kids come running up to us with little basketballs in their hands and markers. And we were like, they wanted us to sign their basketballs. I'm 16, I'm thinking, you know. So we start signing them, and as the year goes on and more games, more people came. We started signing programs and T-shirts, and my head was getting big. So I'm sitting in study hall one time practicing my signature and how I'm going to put my number below it, you know, to make it, you know, look. And then it hit me. These little boys and girls are watching me. They're looking up to me. They're actually paying attention during the games, watching what I do. And then all of a sudden, my big head went, oh, no. You know, I realized of the responsibility that I had and the example that we as a team was setting. And ever since then, I realized everything we do, everything we say, we set an example. If you look up the definition of example, it says a pattern or model as of something to be imitated or avoided. See, a lot of times when we think of an example, we think of good things. But we can also set an example of bad things. Now, the Pals are not known for patience. If my wife and boys were here, they would tell you that. And I'm one of the better ones, to be honest with you. And when I do lose my patience after I've lost it, the boys and Heather will tell me. And I try to explain to them, I'm just showing them how not to act. You know, I try to turn it the other way. But we can also set bad examples, not just good examples in our lives. In 1 Corinthians, Paul writes in chapter 11, verse 1, he says, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. That's what setting the example is. You're imitating somebody, good or bad. And Paul says, imitate me because I am imitating Christ. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, Paul says this, brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. A pattern is an example. Again, it can either be good or it can be bad. Ask yourself, what kind of an example am I setting in my life? Is it good or is it bad? We have examples from the Old Testament. James 5, verse 10 says, my brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example, the prophets, as an example of suffering and patience. 1 Corinthians 10, 17 says, now all these things happened to them as what? As examples. And they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. And you know, we have the most perfect example to follow in Christ. 1 Peter 2:21 says, For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us as an example that you should follow his steps. You know, when Jesus washes his disciples' feet in John 13, he says, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. So we have perfect examples to follow. Good examples and bad examples. And as I was working on this lesson, I started to think of all the characters in Scripture. And I try to think of one word. When I think of that person's name, what example does that person show me? For instance, Noah. Think of Noah. To me, Noah is a lot of examples. But one of the things that stands firm when I think of Noah is hard work. Hard work. Think of what Noah was tasked to do. He was tasked to build the ark. Now, as I've said in different lessons, it's not just a John boat. It's not a pontoon. I mean, it's a ship. Probably about 10 years ago when we went down to Kentucky to visit the ark. Anybody been down there? You go down there and you realize, oh, wow. What he built. Again, whether, you know, what cubit you take, whether it's the 18-inch or 21-inch cubit, doesn't matter. It was a big ship. And to do that without all the mechanical tools that we have, and to do it at the age that he was, and with probably very little help, and while he was doing so, he was still preaching and he was still teaching, and he was being made fun of. What do you mean it's going to rain? What's rain? What do you mean it's going to flood? What's flood? But he worked diligently through that, and you know what ended up happening? It saved him and his family through that hard work. An example of hard work. Abraham. What do you think of when you think of Abraham? I think of faith. I think of faith. The faith of Abraham. Back in Genesis chapter 22, when God goes and tells him to take his son Isaac and do what? Sacrifice him. And what we read, Abraham doesn't question it. I mean, this is the son that he has been waiting for. This is the son that the seed was going to go through, like the sands of the seashore, like the stars of the sky. And now God is saying, go and sacrifice him. And he takes Isaac. We don't know how old Isaac was, but he was old enough to walk and talk. He carried the wood. Can you imagine putting the wood on your son's shoulders, the wood that you're going to build the altar on from, and sacrifice him on? And they get partway there, and Isaac says, "Hey, Dad, we have the wood, you know, we have this, but where's the sacrifice?" And Isaac says, "Lord will provide." Basically, he's looking at Isaac saying in himself, "You're the one." And he goes up there and he builds the altar and he ties Isaac up and his hands right there his with the knife, and he is that close to sacrificing, and God stops him. God knows Isaac's faith, or Abraham's faith. We have two boys, as you know. I can't imagine doing anything close to that. I'd be trying to talk God out of it in an instant, but not Abraham. Abraham had that faith. Whether God could bring Isaac back to life, he didn't know. But he had that faith in God that whatever was going to happen was God's plan. And to me, that is an example of faith. How about Moses? When I think of Moses, I think of a servant. A servant of God. He didn't even want to be a servant of God. He tried to get out of being a servant of God. And he became that ultimate servant of going back to Egypt and leading his people out. And doing all the things that he did in the wilderness and so forth. He was a prime example of being a servant. What about Job? My buddy Job. I love Job. Anytime I get down and I think life is too tough for me, I turn to Job and I think, you know what? I don't have it half bad. To me, when I think of Job, he's an example of perseverance. He persevered through all those calamities. Everything that Satan threw at him, he was able to persevere. Why? Well, you go back to faith. He had that faith. He had that belief in God that no matter what life threw at him, no matter what Satan, no matter what God was going to allow Satan to do, he was going to persevere through because he had that faith. And we need to have that same attitude. No matter what life throws at us, no matter what job crisis, money crisis, health crisis, we need to have that attitude of Job. We're going to persevere. Even Job's wife didn't do it. She was ready to curse God, but not Job. And what happened to the end? You turn all the way to the end of the book of Job. He got everything back, twofold. Now, he didn't get his exact kids back, but he got more back. He got twice as many oxen and camels and everything else. Why? Because he was able to persevere. And we need to be able to persevere. No matter what life throws at us, no matter what Satan does to us, we need to persevere. We need to have that faith of Job and that perseverance of Job. What about Nehemiah? Nehemiah, determination. Determination. We talked about Nehemiah, I don't know when, some months ago in Bible study. He had it upon him to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the wall. He had that goal when he got back there and people were against him. They were going to attack. That's where they were standing by the wall, building the wall with like a tool in one hand and a weapon in the other hand. And within 52 days, they had it done. To me, that's determination. He had a goal, he set it, and he accomplished it. Because again, he had faith in God. He had that determination that he was going to do it. You know, this morning in Bible study, we talked about what one person can do. Well, look what Nehemiah did with that determination to do it. That's how strong determination is. That's how strong desire is. If you want to make a change, you can make a change if you have that determination. if you have that desire, if you have that faith. How about Paul in the New Testament? When I think of him, I think of zeal. He was very zealous in anything and everything he did. And I think that's why God picked him. He was zealous in persecuting the church, or the way, as it was called. He went around everywhere persecuting. He was there when Stephen was stoned. He was zealous for that cause. And I think God saw that. And God took a hold of that and changed him. And now his zeal went toward the church, for the church. Do we have that zeal? Or do we just come in here and sit, hear the lesson, sing the songs, and say, I've done my part? Are we setting the example of zeal? Are we zealous for God's work? Are we zealous in preaching and teaching and spreading of God's work? Paul was. And look what ended up happening. The church spread out all over the place. You think of Jesus, you think of God, they're the perfect examples of everything. Of love, compassion, grace, mercy. So brothers and sisters, we do not have a shortage of examples of what we should be. And if you want to know what we shouldn't be, look at Judas. That's what we should avoid, the greed that he had. But if you look at what Scripture was read in Galatians chapter 5, it shows us some of the things that we should be and what we shouldn't be. And ask yourself, what kind of life am I living? Am I living the life of the flesh? It says in verse 19 of Galatians chapter 5. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the things like these, of which I have forewarned you, just as I have forewarned you that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of life. If those are the examples we are setting, these aren't my words. These are God's words. He says, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Look at our lives. If you fall into one of these categories, we need to change. We're not going to be perfect. I'm not saying that. I already told you, patience is not my virtue. I need to work on that. But are you working on changing those fleshly desires? Those are the examples we should not be setting. What should we be setting? Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Excuse me. Gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Are those the good examples we are setting? Are we loving? Are we joyful? Are we peaceful? Are we patient? No, I'm not. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Are we working to those characteristics? Are we striving to be better people, better Christians? You know, every time I pray, I ask God to help me to be a better person, a better Christian. Every time. Some days I think I'm successful. Other days I think I take a step back. But are we working on those fruits of the Spirit? We should be. Remember what Romans chapter 12 says. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. Are we presenting God a living sacrifice? Are we showing the world what a Christian is in our daily life? Are we being the example in worship service? Yes, you're here. That's good. That's a step. Matthew 15, 7, 8 says, "Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, 'These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me.'" Where is your heart? You're here. You're drawing near to him with your mouth. You honor me with your lips, but where is your heart? Only you know where your heart is. James 1:22 says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." Are we doers or are we just hearers? Because this world needs doers, not just hearers, not just pew sitters. We need workers, good workers, not bad workers, good workers. Are you setting that example as a Christian? If we are able to set that good example, then I have no doubt when our days are coming to a close, we can be like Brother Paul. In 2 Timothy 4, he says this, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but to also all who have loved his appearing." Paul knew he had set that good example. He knew he had fought the good fight. He knew he had finished the race. He knew he had kept the faith. He knew that the crown of righteousness was waiting for him. Can we say the same thing? It starts today. May 21st, it starts today. Let's start setting that good example that this world needs. If you're here this morning and you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, why not? Set that example of coming to Christ. Or if you're here and you're falling away, it's never too late to, again, set that example of coming and saying, "I need to be part of God's family again." Let's set that good example. This world needs good examples. Whatever your need is, come as together we stand and we sing.